Hello, everybody, and welcome to our 56th, I think it is, our 56th meeting on the dissipation of glamour. And we've been working especially with a kind of glamour that is considered for the planet the major dweller on the threshold. It's the glamour of fear in a number of different guises. So we're going to continue that kind of work, and at the same time, we have some readings from a treatise on cosmic fire, which is really a manual for the control of the astral body. And that is not so easy to achieve because of the developmental nature of our planet and the kind of solar system in which we are living, largely an astral Buddhic solar system, which has not yet attained full mental polarization in the cosmic sense. Well, all of that filters down to us in terms of a difficulty in controlling our own emotional reactions, no matter how we might suppress them. So this is a major difficulty, and the fear vibration, of course, is one of those really inhibitory vibrations which prevents the kind of development which otherwise might be possible to us. We just don't venture into certain areas where we should, and we are held back. So the more we can relieve ourselves of these vibrations, the more valuable our discipleship will be to our fellow human beings, and also as agents and representatives of the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Let's just have a little alignment, and then actually I'm going to review some of these meditations on the expulsion of fear, and we're going to get into a new method today as well. And then we'll see whether we have time for a very, very powerful method involving the entire hierarchy and the group in which one finds oneself. Maybe we cannot do that. And because of the Thanksgiving holiday coming up, I'm not quite sure about our next meeting. But if for any reason it cannot be presented, because so many people are, well, at least here in the United States, where I am now, are involved with family and friends and so forth, it might not be the best time to do it. But we will see. I will let you know if that is the case. So let's just we will link up with each other. We are increasingly soul-infused personalities. And wherever we may be upon this planet in the time-space sense, we are all connected by this soul energy. No matter how many souls there seem to be, there's really only one vast consciousness, one vast soul, universally speaking, and for every planet, let us say, and every star and so forth, there's an inclusive consciousness which includes all members of that particular divine manifestation. So in the silence, we drop away, many personal factors and things that concern our particular personality, and we offer ourselves as a group to the hierarchy, spiritual hierarchy, in the attempt to help to make some clearing, some improvement, some dissipation of negativity, such as may be abundantly found these days upon the astral plane and in the field in general of Kama Manas, where mind and emotion link together and form a kind of a temporary separate field which has to be clarified. And just to confirm our intention to be of service in this dissipation of glamour, this clarification of the astral plane, we will sound the Om together. Now, in the work we did last week, we tried, one of the techniques, you know, might review this, our fears generally, the name of fears is Legion. There are so many, and so many which have an individual, personal tinge that are quite unique to ourselves and to our circumstances, and many of them are even unknown to us. They unconsciously abide within our energy system and have their effects, but we may not be really aware of what they are. Fear of death, fear of the future, fear of pain, fear of failure. Disciples and aspirants particularly, the fear of failure is a big one because they know they have a job to do. And they don't want to be slow or incapable. They don't want to act in such a manner that they cannot fulfill the expectations of themselves as a soul or the expectations of their master of the ashram or the hierarchy as a whole, because they know how serious things are at this time. And indeed they are. So we have to work from inside out. So just remind yourself of a kind of fear that has sometimes plagued your psyche. I mean, we have many of them, and of course, as a whole, they will be largely banished by the time the fourth initiation is taken, but we're not there yet. So we have to work our way into that freedom from fear, which usually concerns so much our personality and even our individuality in the causal body, which some of us may be loath to give up in the individual sense, rather than commit it totally to the divine plan. There are higher types of fears, and probably even on cosmic levels, there are higher analogs to what we might call the fear reaction as we experience it. It's a very, very deep matter, and in fact, it's built into the nature of matter itself. It's a recoil from plan intended relationship. This is one of the ways of looking at fear, a recoil from plan intended relationship, and then we remain isolated as a result of what the fear has done to our affiliative response. So maybe we have isolated a particular type of fear, one we've been working with. And of course, these techniques are used when the fear really comes upon you. Such may not be the case at the moment. But when we tune in on it, probably there is some response. So name it to yourself. And he asks us to relax the physical body and endeavor to quiet the astral body as far as may be, and to steady the mind. And then a visualization is suggested, very similar to the one he suggests for the triangles workers. Visualize yourself, the personality, the soul, and the master. He, the master, at the apex of the triangle. And you will, with a deliberation, call down a stream of pure white light, and pouring it through your lower vehicles, you will cleanse away all that hinders. And of course, every fear is really a great obstruction to spiritual and even mundane success, achievement. So you've named a fear, you see the triangle. You use the white light. And you see it cleansing the mind, cleansing the camomanasic sphere, cleansing the astral vehicle per se, cleansing the etheric physical vehicle. We'll pause and participate in this cleansing. And he says, you know, we can use this many times until we feel or realize that the needed work of cleansing ourselves of the particular fear has been accomplished. Obviously, it won't work if we do it just once. It's a process. But the techniques have been given. And I'm sure there's no one who cannot find, if they are honest, some fear, some recoil, some refusal to go forward within their nature. We can talk about it again when we're all initiates of the fourth degree and have overcome our attachment not only to the personality but to the causal body. That's a big step. Now, we are flooding, therefore, the personality with the love and light of the soul. The solution always lies at first within the soul. The soul does not have fear as we understand it. We've been through many painful experiences on this planet of releasing sorrow and purifying pain, as it is called. And we are becoming adjudicators between the opposites, pairs of opposites. We're really going to know what is soul, what is consciousness, and then what is the more material tendency of personality. We will know that as graduates, and it will help us. It's quite an intense process on this planet. So we're not talking about easy things here. Not at all. We're not talking about complicated things either. It's not complicated, but it's not easy to achieve and requires much dedication and persistence, but, you know, being disciples in training, we have to get used to that idea and be very patient. The patience is rooted in the realization of our immortality, our essential birthlessness and deathlessness. That which we are essentially always has been, always will be, as difficult as it is to think of that which has no beginning, you know. But we have to learn to identify as that state of beginningless, endless being, whatever you want to call it. Words are inadequate, and it is the experience, or some call it the a perception of these states that is important. And that's what separates the theoretical approach of the disciple to the convinced and knowing realization of the initiate. So we be humble on these matters and forge ahead, realizing that the time equation is very much in our hands. Very much so. Going on here, the legitimate fears which arise from things connected with the circumstances of the work to be done and from the knowledge of materialized obstructions to the work must be treated somewhat differently. It's not just about our personal fears. it relates to the work. And he's offering us definite method to be followed. Now, you know, if I'm remembering correctly, and I think I am, the Tibetan's very last words to his groups were, "Work, my brothers. Work, my brothers." It's a very powerful injunction. There's so many ways for us to avoid the real work. If we're honest, we will know what those ways are. But a real disciple is a worker. And being a worker really wants to see the divine plan materialized, expressed, bringing about eventually the liberation of humanity and the sacralization of the planet. We have a very important little planet here, you know. It's the base of the spine center of our solar logos. And without the participation of our essentially first ray monadic planet, the solar logos himself is delayed in some of the cosmic initiations he could otherwise take. It is not concluded whether he will succeed in taking the crucifixion initiation only in this second major solar system, or whether he will move on to cosmic mastership in this particular solar system. And a lot of what we do right here on this little planet will determine the success. It's way down the road, of course, you know. We're only about halfway through our solar system. But it will determine the success of the solar logos and his system. So we have very big responsibilities. And when we begin to think of our responsibilities in larger terms, rather than just in terms of the welfare of our little self, then the new capacities begin to come into our energy system, and we are elevated because we are in the business of elevating others. To those who give shall be given, so that they may give again. And that's not only the story of money, that's the story of any kind of spiritual energy. The giving of spiritual energy evokes the replenishment in greater measure, even, of that energy. So obviously, service is the great method of growth, and I'm sure we all realize that and have had times when we know it is so. Well, here is another little meditation. And, you know, these are just golden. They are of extreme value because all human beings face this kind of difficulty. We're not yet liberated, you know. We are still what is called the souls in prison. And the prison is our own semi-benighted consciousness. So methods are given to us to widen the scope of our consciousness and develop new capacities. We've only just begun, and what lies ahead is, I can never rightfully use the word infinitely, but it's hugely in advance of what we will achieve, what we have achieved thus far. So just think for a moment about any kind of fear that you may have in connection with the spiritual work that you are trying to accomplish. Now, look, you know, there's a certain fluidity of these spheres, and they blend one into another, and we don't expect them to be like totally cut and dried and separated from each other. They flow into each other, but just think for a moment. Because you are a worker, let us say, first the student, always a student, and then, of course, ongoingly a worker in the vineyard of the Lord, our great Lord of the world, Sanat Kumara, and you're involved in the spiritual work. So are there any, in your consciousness, any hesitations, any trepidations, any feelings akin to fear regarding the work you are trying to do on behalf of the spiritual hierarchy? Let's think for a little bit. Okay, so let's say that we have fixed the consciousness. I mean, you can continue to do this, obviously. You know, you can work with these things. But we fix the consciousness on something, a fear associated with the spiritual work. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I have no fears. And it maybe for some, it may be true. I've talked to some first-rate people who are emphatic about it. But my guess is that some of the time, at least, they're afraid of fear itself. And that was enunciated for us by the great disciple Franklin Roosevelt. You know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, because it's so debilitating and prevents you from accomplishing. So let us hold in mind this kind of fear that we have at least isolated or are willing to experiment with. And we still the physical body. And we note here that we quiet by temporary inhibition, the astral body. Generally, the work of inhibition is not suitable and has inconvenient and difficult effects, even on the physical body. So inhibition is something we only use now and then when we have to act very fast. And we link up with the ego, note capital E, ego, our identity on the higher mental plane. And we're going to use the mind here. But link up with whatever image you use or however you do it with the sense of your soul or you as a soul or you and the angel of the presence on the higher mental plane. And we're going to use our reason now. This is our thinking capacity in the lower mind. We're going to think about the proper method of procedure in dealing, in meeting the difficulty that you have identified. So it's some aspect of the work and some kind of fear-like feeling or thought or disturbance, you know, that you have in relation to the work or some aspect of it. And now we're thinking about the proper method or procedure in meeting the difficulty. And obviously you could think about this, you know, a long time, because bringing the rational faculties to bear is a spiritual act. And we have to be able to think about how to deal with this inhibition, this negative feeling we have, this, what could I call it, a negative anticipation about how things will work out in relation to some aspect of the work, or how things might work out. And it always weakens us. Fear always weakens us, unless, of course, we really react against it and use it as a springboard. So now the Tibetan suggests this, that having exhausted all the higher rational methods, and having clearly seen your course of action, reassert that to yourself. What is your course of action? Now, raise your vibration as high as may be. You'll have to do this in your own way, right? And call down. It's like increasing the point of tension, okay? And call down from intuitional levels added light on the difficulty. Now, the soul has its intuition, and it is fed by the plane of intuition, the Buddhic plane. So however you want to visualize accessing those, you call down added light from this transcendental realm on the issue. You've thought about it. You think you know some good rational approaches to deal with this negativity surrounding certain aspects of the work, and now call down something that you can't account for. You don't know what it's going to say to you. We'll take a few minutes. And of course, when you do this yourself, you can take as long as you think may be required. And then DK says a very interesting thing. If your intuition and reasoning faculty produce harmony and thus show the way out, then proceed. So your best thought and your intuition, or what the light of the intuition should be, harmoniously related, enhance your sense of how to proceed. And then if this is so, follow what is given. DK goes on, as an occult fact, and this is something we really all need to absorb, because perhaps it's not so easily absorbed by the personality per se. As an occult fact, past all controversy, you know that naught can now happen but what is for the best. You are sure of guidance, and he who sees thus the end from the beginning makes no error. The intuition, if it's real intuition, is infallible. It takes us back to the end of the first chapter in a treatise on white magic, where he talks about how we are to make decisions depending on the nature of our consciousness, how we can be sure that our decision is correct, and so forth. We have to have faith. There's no question about it, but faith is substance. It's not empty. It touches the state that we are attempting to come en rapport with. So keep that in your mind, this particular method, especially when it's not just personal fears that may be coming up. As I say, they're all intertwined, of course, but these simple methods can be used and make of us much more steady and useful workers. That's what we need to be. So I think what I'll say here is that this will be, I'll let you know for sure if there's any cancellation of next Friday's meeting. It would be a morning meeting, right? And so for many in the United States, it would be the night before. It'd actually be on the night of the Thanksgiving holiday and so forth. But let me give that, some deep thought and see what is best. Actually, tomorrow morning, Tuya has made one change due to various factors, and the invoking the soul of nations in the ASK program will be the morning schedule tomorrow, the 5 a.m. GMT tomorrow. And then when we attract money for hierarchical purposes on Sunday, it's back to the evening schedule. Then the next week, it is the morning schedule. And I hope that somehow, I know you're living all over, that you do have the opportunity to meditate with us on subjects that DK really wanted us to meditate on together. He gave his group the reappearance of the Christ meditation. He gave them the attracting money for hierarchical purposes meditation. He said the triangles work must go on. And, as far as the glamour work, we're attempting that, right? And the emergency work that we do in attracting, rather invoking the soul of nations, very necessary in today's troubled world. So this will be the end here of Dissipation of Glamour webinar number 56 reading. And today is the 17th. Okay. We're still in Scorpio, right? And beginning of Dissipation of Glamour initiative number 56, and the anticipation is that it will be on the 24th November 17 GMT, which, as I say, for quite a few of us here in the Western Hemisphere and so forth, will be will be the night before. Let's see what we can do, and we'll let you know if there's any change. Now, okay, these matters of pursuing the spiritual path, a profound humility is needed. Master Morius tells us to wear away irritation, which is always compromising the consciousness. He says, wear it away through cosmic perception. We've got to see the really, really big picture and see how small our issues really are. At the same time, we have to attend with caution, not overlooking the smallest thing, when dealing with our own imperfections. And we all have them, don't we? And nobody's going to go out there and solve them for us. We have to note them and handle them. And that's the disciples' responsibility. Now, what I'm going to do is open up the floor to anyone who would like to write something, ask something, say something, whatever, before we get into our general meditation on fear. So if
Yes.
there's, yes, Brett, what's that?
Suzanne has a written comment.
Okay. Right. Howdy, howdy. Okay. Oh, that's Rose Witha. Okay, hi. And hi, Rose Witha. Okay. Okay, now, Suzanne, I was interested in your reference to the disciple theorizes, the initiate knows. Well, you know what's interesting there? If you go to Rule 14 in the Rays and the Initiations, the advanced rules, you will see that they are for initiates, for the disciple who is the initiate. When I say the word disciple, I oftentimes just mean the one who is not yet the initiate of the third degree, but even the initiate of the third degree is a disciple, initiate, and so forth. The word disciple can be used continuously, but it begins with the word know. It begins with know, and then it goes on, know, express, reveal, destroy, resurrect. Those are the five words. Now, in one way, you can have the certainty of intuitive initiate sight at the third degree. It really begins to come in because the intuition is very, very powerful. These five words can be applied starting to our normal first initiation. And expression comes with the second, and revelation comes with the third, and so forth. But a still more advanced way of looking at this is to begin at the third initiation with the word know. The fourth initiation has the word express, and interestingly, the fifth initiation would then carry the word reveal, and what's the name of that that initiation? It's the revelation. And destroy would be for the sixth initiation. It has to do with the eventual destruction of the monadic vehicle, the temple of Ezekiel, and resurrect is the true resurrection on the seventh plane. So we have a lot of hunches, a lot of ideas. This may be so, that may be so, it seems right to me, you know. I was just reading the other day that DK said, when you are a master, all of these intimations about what may be correct, all of these fleeting impressions, things that are, you know, in the right direction but not confirmed, they will be confirmed at mastership, and you will truly know. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if we could start that whole sequence all over again at the fifth degree and go to the tenth degree, which is never really mentioned, and maybe is in a way the first degree of a still higher sequence. So we have to tell the difference between thinking we know and knowing. Knowing is what Master Moria calls straight knowledge. There's no uncertainty about it. Could be this, could be that, probably is. My reason tells me this, it probably is. The reasoning is no longer a part of really knowing, but pure reason is a part of really knowing. And pure reason is another name for intuition on the Buddhic plane. So once we enter the cosmic etheric nature, which starts from the Buddhic plane, the possibility of real knowing and not just reasoning about comes home to us. And we just have to be honest with ourselves. What am I speculating about? What do I think is probably the case? What makes sense to me? And what do I absolutely know? I'm trying to use the word know in that way. And the initiate is one who has entered into a certain stage of vibratory response where he does know. And there's no need to reason about it anymore. Well, you know, we could write a whole book on this subject, right? So, but that's the idea. That's the idea. Okay, Suzanne. Right. Well, then, and the clues, you know, look within yourself about those things that you really, really know, and on what level are they, and what are the things about which you speculate. Even Master DK is speculating when he writes a treatise on cosmic fire, and when he's writing about the cosmic astral plane, he just says, "I don't know, I haven't been there." That kind of honesty, you know, where people don't exaggerate the scope of their understanding. I had a kind of contact with a fellow, and he was sure now that he had taken the seventh initiation. Okay. The Christ himself, nor the Buddha, has not completed the seventh initiation, but this man was sure. I don't know what one can do about that, but a sense of right proportion will gradually develop if we are not caught in our own pride and ambition and fear of being less. You know, so many things make us decide incorrectly. It's a glamour, right? If you think you've taken the seventh initiation and completed it, I don't know what you're doing reading Master DK's books. All right. What else, Brett?
Yes, Suzanne has another comment.
Okay. Just got to find myself. Right. Yes. Yes. I have felt this sense of coming home with DK and these efforts, my efforts. Thank you. You know, look, what are we trying to do? Make sense out of this so it's really real to us. We can read, we can memorize, you know, we can. The old saying, and it always amuses me that even a donkey can carry a library on his back. I thought to myself, what kind of donkey am I here? You know, but it's not assimilation. Of course, Master Moria kind of puts that straight in another way. He says, be careful not to put the load of a camel on a donkey, or you're going to have a collapse. So anyway, with DK, his is a training ashram. Many of us who may belong ultimately to this master or that master, we go through our training with Master DK. He has many, many ray types in his group. I would say first ray types, a lot of second ray types, third ray types, fourth ray souls, maybe not so much, fifth ray souls, not so much, sixth ray souls, yes, seventh ray souls, to a degree. But I would say that he's training most of the first, second, third ray, and the sixth ray types. But anyone can be. He's in his groups, he's had seventh ray souls and so forth. They just maybe didn't, it wasn't as easy for them as it was for some others responding to what he was teaching in the way he was teaching it. We have a great gift with Master DK. It's just incredible. And you got to be so grateful when the publishing companies are just reeking with glamorous books that just mislead you and take you off into Never Never Land. And here he's just giving the solid, practical, beautiful, clear way forward. I'm very grateful, and I'm sure we all are.
Michael?
Yep. Yes, Brett.
Olivia has her hand up.
Okay. Right. Okay, Olivia, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I just wanted to share about a nice collaboration on dealing with glamour that's going on this weekend. Lucis Trust and Rural Goodwill are having their annual seminars in New York, London, and Geneva. And the theme is From the Unreal to the Real, Discerning Truth in the Information Age. And they'll be working to help people develop discrimination. So this is a wonderful collaboration. And our Alex Radcliffe will be presenting then in Geneva on the subject, And the Truth Shall Set You Free, Finding Clarity in a Complex World. So it's always good to know the work of other collaborating groups and so forth, because I think it gives us that encouragement and strengthens us in our own work. You know,
that's excellent. Do they have any way to tune in on that via any kind of broadcast?
I think they usually do, so we could check if someone's interested on the Lucis Trust website.
Okay. That sounds good. I mean, it's a Scorpio issue From the Unreal to the Real is the second initiation Scorpionic issue, and DK tells us about the importance of Mercury, the planet of discrimination, in that sign. So it is the highest of the planets in Scorpio and has to be raised to a high level in this. One of the things that we may not realize is that the planet Neptune is not only the planet of pure reason in a way, it's also the planet of deception and fancifulness and imagination and unreality. And it's in the fanciful sign Pisces these days. So the negative response of Neptune in Pisces is to just make up the truth. You know, as if you're writing some kind of drama or play. It has no connection with the Virgoan reality where Mercury is exalted on the other side of the zodiac. And we're living through that. So I think that, you know, any group such as the Lucis Trust in this case, which puts a focus on that, is doing us all a lot of good, and maybe some people will be able to attend. So thanks for that notification, Liv. We appreciate that. Okay, is there anything else before we begin our meditation? Okay, well, I don't see anything right now. Do you, Brett? I think people may have spoken what they want to speak.
Right.
Good. Okay, friends. Well, look, we're all in this together. The black forces, the forces of materialism, they work very much through the feeding of glamour. This is what they did in early Atlantean days and set up a really obstructive situation, which prevented humanity from moving ahead as rapidly as it might. I'm sure that, thousands and thousands, I'll just be conservative, thousands and thousands of years of delay have resulted from their deliberate efforts to stir up distortion and untruth, you might say. And we have to be sharp and recognize it, because they're just, you know, they and their representatives are going to continue to fabricate. That's all I can say. Just make it up out of whole cloth, make up these alternative truths and all these kinds of things, as they've been called. And they hardly recognize that they are actually doing that. Some of them, they are so far removed from the truth that they don't even recognize there's something wrong with this fabrication. So people like ourselves, if the truth will set us free, the truth being connected with the soul perspective and beyond, we really have to work that assertion. And especially from the inner planes, I mean, some of us are able to serve on the outer plane as well in various ways. I think it's the case. But our very, very strong effort has to be gathered and focused on the inner planes in an occult manner. So we'll just keep it up, and we'll do what we can do. By the way, I just wanted to say that I've gotten back to the raised and initiations again. So in the last, I'm working on the second part of the book. There's only about less than 100 pages to go in terms of commentary. So Brett has been working on these to send them out to Makara, and I've done about a new 6 hours worth of stuff, and I'm going to continue as much as I can. It's a fantastic book. And to make commentaries as much as possible to help us understand some of these more abstruse matters. continually. Some things that DK writes are just so straightforward, you know, doesn't need interpretation. You just get it. And other things perhaps can benefit from discussion and interpretation. So I'm on that again, and just wanted to let you know. Brett, is one of my friends said that he had received notification of one of those programs. Is that correct? Has it gone?
Yes.
On? Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes. The first one the first you one. Did a couple of days ago.
Okay. Very good. Meanwhile, poor Brett has he's summarizing all these things, and unfortunately, he's the victim of the ray of meticulous entirety, which is called the second ray. So he's got a big job. Okay, let's go on to our meditation. And we'll prepare simply by, at first, having again some silence between us, among us. So we've gathered our energies. And one can, I think, definitely feel them. We are an instrument for the hierarchy and on behalf of humanity. We're working inside, but it's not easy work, and there are attendant dangers. So we do use the protective formula and imagine that we are tracing this in light. We're making the sign of the cross of divinity. As a soul, I work in light. And darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. So, this cross radiates for each one of us and for the group. If we are not cautious, we can be overcome by the very things that we are trying to overcome. Now we focus the dual light of matter and of mind. We draw up the light of matter, type of substance energy, draw it up to the mental plane, and there imaginatively fuse it with the light of mind. So we have vitalized, clear thinking power. Now, we meditate on soul contact, however we want to visualize that, and we, each of us, try to recognize soul light. And now we imaginatively fuse the two lesser lights with the soul light descending. A triple light is made, three as one. The vitalized thinking power is held steady in the light of the soul. And we will say aloud together, followed by the sacred word three times, the light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Light of day is the light of Scorpio ruling the plane of intuition and the illumination of intuition. We gather our lesser lights, and in that combination of lights, we shall see a greater light. Then we use the formula. And we say together, radiance are we, and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning, and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. And that is the theme, we know, lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality, from chaos to beauty, from the individual to the universal. That's our path. So now this triple light is like a searchlight, and it reaches out onto the astral plane. It's at once a method of revelation and a method of dissipation. You might almost call it a weapon of dissipation. And it has its analogy to the long horn of the unicorn. And to strengthen our searchlight, our beam of light, individual and group, we call upon the spiritual will. It lies behind, fortifying everything we do, wielded by the hierarchy. It's atmic in its nature, and even beyond. It's a willingness to do that which the plan and purpose require. So to strengthen our beam of light, we say together, visualizing it happening, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. That goal is the dissipation of glamour, and we're working particularly now with the glamour of fear. And maybe we might say, with the glamour of fear associated with the spiritual work we have to do. Many disciples do not fear for themselves, but they do fear that the work that is to be accomplished will somehow not be accomplished. And now we use the words of power. In relation to the glamour of fear, as it is related to the spiritual work. The power of our united light prevents the glamour of fear in relation to the spiritual work. It prevents the appearance of the glamour of fear in relation to the spiritual work. The power of our united light negates the quality of the glamour of fear in relation to the spiritual work from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour of fear related to the spiritual work. And now we will, as we visualize our beam of light penetrating and producing the weakness and dissipation of the type of glamour we are focused on, we will have 5 minutes of silence and intensity of purpose as this work is going forward. in the light of the soul, the yoga sutras of Patanjali. It tells us that when thoughts contrary to yoga arise, replace those thoughts with thoughts contrary to the contrary thoughts. And so this section of the meditation offers us the opportunity to form some very positive mantras in relation to the achievements we wish to see established. It's not just the dissipation of the clouds and the mists and the vampiristic energies and all that. It's also the assertion of the corrected condition in the full light of the spiritual sun. So work on that in your own way. We dissipate individually, we dissipate as a group, and we assert the image of a certain victory together. Together. And now we withdraw our beam of light onto the mental plane again. We shut the searchlight down, as it were. We realize that our efforts have had some benefit, and we sound the Om three times, recognizing that in all the areas of humanity's personality, there has been some accomplishment. So thank you, friends, for attending. Olivia, Tuya, and I invite you to this weekly process. As I said, we'll see about next week. It is a time when a lot of people may not be available. We'll see what we can do. Maybe we'll broadcast it from Europe. We'll see, where Thanksgiving is not, is not the focus on that day anyway. Tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., we have a change in schedule. We have sort of our emergency inner spiritual work as we invoke the soul of nations. So you have your link. It always stays the same for the broadcasting link. If not, please write to Brett. I won't be available to answer today. But if you don't have the link for the broadcast, please write to Brett. And then we resume our ask program at the normal time, which is 5 p.m. GMT, for attracting money for hierarchical purposes. Okay, so let us persist, let us persist, let us persist in doing this inner work, which has benefit, more benefit than probably we can realize, because our life, as DK says, is mostly focused on the plane of outer life, but we're getting there all the time and are becoming more subjective beings. So all the best, a lot of love, and many blessings to everyone. Take care, and we'll be seeing you soon, and then next week again on the morning schedule. Okay. Take care.